Hi, I'm John Ziegler, and I never listen to None Take.
So Natasha's telling me I need to get a monitor.
What do you mean?
Like, I did this on the laptop.
Okay.
Do you do yours on the laptop, or do you have like a desktop monitor?
No, I have. It's on the laptop. Natasha, why is she saying to get it on a monitor?
I don't know. She says it's like more professional. She's like, you can do two screens that way. I'm like, I have one screen. I've done the whole thing. And then like with this setup, I know I can do this mobile no matter what. But
right.
That said, it would be nice for the soundboard to just be its own device. So I just have a laptop that's a soundboard. And she's like, you don't have a mouse?
Cool.
I don't have to have a mouse? I don't know about this.
It would be cool to have a second monitor. That would be cool. I keep thinking about putting it on the my TV.
Oh, yeah.
But I like having the news on.
No, I like you having the TV because you watch 3 hours of cable news a day, so we don't have to.
Do you see there's an active shooter in Maine?
No, what the fuck, man? God. The night I'm wearing my fucking Firearm Policy Coalition t-shirt.
Abolish the ATF.
I mean, I stand by the abolish the ATF. Yeah. Save the dogs.
Yeah. Two locations in Maine, Lewiston, Maine. He's still at large.
How many people have been shot, or has nobody been shot? Yet. He's just been shooting.
Yeah. Okay. They have a picture of him on the news. Mm. Cops are trying to see if anybody has information about who the guy is. Mm. So they don't usually release photos of active shooters, but they did this time because he's still out there.
Okay. Yeah. Because if anybody sees him.
Right.
Jesus. Did you see the video from Philly last night? Two Asian guys beat up a black guy in the parking lot and then shot him. Yeah, and then they got in their car and drove away right into traffic. I'm assuming it was leaving the Phillies game.
Fuck.
Dude, did you imagine shooting somebody in a parking lot and then sitting in post-game traffic? Like, you're going to get away with it?
Wow.
I know.
I did not see that. No, I know the Phillies lost.
Not see that. Wow, Alan.
Yeah, I know. How'd I miss that one?
I don't know, but I don't think you noticed what you said, but that's okay. It'll come up later in the show.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I've got an agenda, and we'll see if you fall right into my trap, my clever ruse. I'm trying to move on from this active shooter story. Cunning. That sucks, man. I'm sorry. Yeah, my cunning attempt to trick you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Were we
chicks
kinda...
with dicks that put mine to shame. That's right.
I think you're still quoting Mallrats, right? Clerks, okay, good.
Yeah,
not Mallrats. Well,
no, I was trying to, you know, bring some levity to the situation here.
Yeah.
A little palate cleanser. If
all of them by gunfire or others may have been injured in the stampede to get out of the way or to leave the building or to flee. But these are significant numbers.
Oh, wow. I saw the picture of the shooter.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. 6 to 8 people shot leaving a bowling alley and over a dozen shot at a bar. Unconfirmed exact totals of fatality. But
yeah, I think I just turned the volume up while you were gone. I think I caught it like mid sentence, but I think he was saying there's like 50 to 60 injuries, unknown fatalities, but unknown if they were all injuries because of being shot or if there was a stampede trying to get out of the building or whatever. Yeah.
And I can't keep my gun in my boot when I wear my bowling shoes. Don't laugh.
It would be difficult to keep your gun in your boot.
Is the name of this bar Schmegma's Bar?
I don't know. I didn't see the name of the bar.
S-C-H-E-M-E-N-G-E-E-S. Schmengies.
That's a weird name.
Yeah, but definitely not Schmegma.
Definitely not a Schmegma.
Schmegma, that's like, that's Yiddish, right, Alan?
Is it? Sure.
Yeah.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember what it means?
Isn't it like associated with number 3 or
no? I hope not. Ew. I'm feeling unwell.
What is it?
Geographically, like on the body it is.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like this stuff.
I'm not gonna No, Alan, it doesn't. Yes, it accumulates, yes.
Yes.
What do you
yes.
think number 3 is?
Well, it's related to that stuff, but you know, it's not the same stuff.
Only hygienically.
Right.
Start the recording. Alan's over here talking about Schmegma and fucking number 3. You guys are lucky you didn't hear that. You'll have to download the MP3 to listen to this. That's staying in. Okay. That's staying in the show. You know what? You know what? I was a little iffy about this line of questioning that I was going to ask you a question about before we start the show, but I will gladly change the subject to that.
Okay.
Okay. So how many people, Godwin enters the chat immediately today.
Here we go.
How many people did, Hitler kill? You know, did you just give us like, what are we saying? Like 10 million, 8 million, something like this.
I think it's usually 6 million is the number that gets thrown out.
Okay.
There,
all right. Sure.
Yeah.
Stalin, that's like 25, 50 million. Like there's that. Like the range, yeah. though, right? It's like, I don't know. There's a lot of people we don't know what happened to, and he was in charge. So, yeah. Mao, how many people did Mao kill? That's the fun one, right? That's like 50 million at least.
It's
right?
a lot.
If you include sparrows, like a lot of people died under Mao.
Jeez.
Was that under Mao, the sparrows thing?
That sounds familiar. Refresh my memory.
Do you remember? Oh, so they wanted to get rid of sparrows because they thought they were destroying their crops. So then the knock-on effects of killing all the sparrows led to famine. Led to famine, and the famine killed like 100 million people.
So Google search says 40 to 80 million victims due to starvation, persecution, prison labor, and mass execution.
Okay, all right. Is Hitler on any of the money in Germany?
No.
Is Stalin on any of the money in Russia?
Oh, I don't know.
Probably not, right?
Probably not.
Mao is on every fucking coin and dollar in China. Like, every currency. Like, the greatest mass murderer as a leader. You know, at least
that,
modern.
I had not even considered that. That is true.
Isn't that mind-blowing? Like, every time you take out physical money there, you're seeing, like...
This guy that murdered 80 million people.
And they know about it. Like, even as much as that's all, you know, what...
Putting it under the rug.
Yeah, they, like, people know. Like, you
know.
Yeah, great-grandma died along with everybody I know's great-grandma, right? Like, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's pretty mind-blowing, actually.
I know. Like, the longer you think about it, the more it, like, soaks in, right? Yeah. I came back to that a couple of times in the last week. I was like, I think I'll say that on the show. I wasn't going to open it with it, but, you know, Jesus, anything to get us off the schmegma talk. God. I got an opening clip, unless you have more to add about bodily fluids.
No, I'm good. All right. I think we covered that.
Listeners, don't Google that. I guess the last thing was sort of cancel culture related, right? This is a seamless transition.
Seamless.
Speaking of cancel culture.
I was today years old when I found out that the clothing brand Nirvana is actually based on a band called Nirvana. And I was like, what the heck? Weren't they touring everywhere? And I read through some of their lyrics. I'm like, oh, that explains it. Cancel culture.
Don't let me in this damn house.
Should we hit record?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
All right, you ready?
I am ready. Are you recording?
Yes. All right. Well, you want to start a show?
Let's start a show.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage. I got all the ways
I just ain't got to make it. No offense taken there.
Well, it sounds like none taken. Got all the blues I just ain't got to train. I got all the ways I just ain't got to make it. Ask him how to shift, say the same thing. All the ways I just ain't got the means. Boom.
Welcome to the Friday Headlines Roundup edition of None Taken, where every week my good friend Alan wrangles up his favorite headlines, brings them here, and we talk them at you. Ooh, did that one a little fast. Talk them at you. Because I listen to 13 hours of podcasts a day, and Alan watches 3 hours of cable news, so you don't have to. We're your antidote to mainstream media. Remember, kids, if you miss a little, you miss a lot. Especially on this one. We have fun and games on the other show, but we try to, like, talk about the things that are like, oh, shit, we didn't talk about this major news event this week. Let's stick this in here. Head on over to all the sites that link to the places that get you to our stuff. So if you want to get merch, you go to FungibleNoneTakens.com. If you want to get onto our Patreon, all you have to do is go to TrumpGags.com. And then tell your friends about TrumpGags.com. Oh, shit, Alan, it's Friday.
So another Friday is upon us.
What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
If you want to help the people to help us, head on over to slickitsdigital.com. Slickits Digital for all your SEO and marketing needs.
Hell yeah. Welcome to the show, everybody. What is up? Friday. We made it to another week.
Fuck
well,
yeah, man.
Friday for you guys. Yeah. I mean, it's Wednesday.
Okay, yeah, that was the thing. I was saying that in the intro. It was like, you know, all the current events that we want to talk about. I'm like, yeah, we're recording this on a fucking Wednesday. So, you know, I love how we spent a good 20 minutes on the last show talking about how they're not going to make any movement in the House because there's no way to find a majority. And then halfway through today, I was like, oh, there's a Speaker of the House.
We have a Speaker.
Did not see this coming.
Yeah, he's a real piece of shit, too. It's our third headline. We'll get into
okay.
it. But yeah, Friday's here. Have a can of beer.
I have one.
Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah.
What you drinking on?
It's a yellow. Who makes this? Sweetwater. Sweetwater IPA.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good.
So not to bring the energy in the room down, but just an update on the shooter. It says 16 dead, 50 to 60 injured so okay. far, and he's still at large.
People are going to hear this on Thursday or Friday. I think there's going to be a lot more to update this in the meantime. More, yeah. It's just not going to feel right to talk about the show without at least addressing that as the context of, yeah.
When people plug this in their ears.
Yeah, and when Friday, we're not as funny as usual, that's why.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
We got the heavy hearts, Alan.
Thoughts and prayers, you know. Shall we get into it?
Yeah.
All right. You want to go first?
Well, I had a clip related to thoughts and prayers, but it's probably bad taste.
Oh, yeah.
How many of you had the Holy Ghost come in you?
No? Okay. It's a palate cleanser.
That's a good palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know Completely. What else goes well with the idea of a palate cleanser?
What's that?
Learn to swallow.
Whoa. Is that new?
No. Remember her?
Oh.
Learn to swallow.
Yeah. I remember. Want to see my dick?
That was Alan. That wasn't him just now, though. It was a different Alan. I forgot to play these earlier. I got new sounds for you.
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?
That was pretty
And then
funny.
I think I have this in for maybe after some of our comedy clips. That's better than, what's the one that... I'm going to play it more because Way said he likes it. He likes the Taylor Swift laugh. Sorry, Tim. I won't do it. I give myself a hard limit of 2 an episode and I'll really, really shoot for 1 or less.
Good. I think that's a perfect amount.
It's a perfect amount. Why do I have to go first? The UN warned that it may have to cut relief operations in Gaza today, a couple days ago for y'all, as its access to fuel runs out. So is the UN losing access to fuel? I'm going to keep going, though. While the UN Security Council considers separate U.S. and Russian-led ceasefire proposals to allow aid entry, I have not ever, until I saw that headline, heard the word ceasefire and U.S., in this context, in this conflict. I thought we were maybe asking for a pause because we don't want to say the word ceasefire because we don't want that to catch on.
Actually, I think that what they asked for technically was a pause. A pause still.
They're on a break.
Humanitarian.
They're going to go war other countries and then come back and see if they want a war together like they used to.
Yeah, so the U.S. has introduced, what do you call that, a proposal? Not the proposal. They've introduced a... It's not legislature. In the UN, what's that called?
A proposal to the UN. A suggestion.
Let me get it right.
Okay. A draft resolution.
There you go.
Really?
They've introduced a resolution, and Russia's... Russia's
I need to celebrate.
And Russia's issued their own counter-resolution. China and Russia...
We're fighting over resolutions?
Yeah, China and Russia vetoed our resolution.
Are you fucking kidding me? People are dying, and it's like, no, I want to solve it. And I don't like the way they do it, right? Is that what's happening?
Something like that, yes. The initial U.S. text shocked many diplomats with its bluntness in stating Israel has a right to defend itself and demanding Iran stop exporting arms to militant groups.
That seems
reasonable.
It did
not call for humanitarian pauses for aid access, but it largely toned down the final text that was put to vote. But then they came back and asked for a pause. And Russia's similarly has asked for a pause, but neither of them are going anywhere. So there's going to be another vote on which has everybody in it, not just the Security Council, the whole UN. But anything that passes there is not binding. So it doesn't really mean anything. But yeah, they're running out of fuel in Gaza. So, and that's really bad because like hospitals use generators for electricity. So they're running out of fuel for their generators. There's no water. There's no food. It's pretty, pretty bad. Over 6,000 dead in Gaza, 1,400 dead in Israel. And we're still waiting to see if that ground offensive happens. Seems like maybe Bibi's holding off to decide, you know, when it's, if it's a good time to do that. So,
can I ask you a question? It's going to sound really naive.
Okay.
All right. Have we tried destroying cities and just killing everyone except for a surviving population that comes back to be future militants? Have we tried that?
We have.
Okay.
We
all have. Right. Can I try something else? I have a different idea then.
Okay.
All right. This is going to sound really naive, and I'm aware of that.
Okay.
They obviously have a war plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with that must come like projected losses that they're willing to accept, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if they sat down all parties that they would ultimately be warring with and being like, look, I'm not going to give you all of the details because should you say no to this, obviously we'll have to try to pull these maneuvers off. But what you're okay with showing and including in that, this is, these are the losses we're willing to accept. And this is what we anticipate your losses to be. And in these ways, like, is that not like, can't they save face and say, we don't want to do this. I don't want to inflict this cost on civilians. But if you wish war, then we will bring war. And then you kind of get to put it on them. Not that that's, you know, that's kind of,
I mean, rationally, yeah, that makes perfect sense. But unfortunately, I think the public sentiment in Israel would not allow.
But imagine the flex of being like, everything in my being wants to devastate and destroy you. And mm-hmm. I am showing you what you don't think I have, which is the ability to find compassion and empathy.
I mean,
like, it would take that off the table. It would completely change the game.
I agree completely. Unfortunately, the situation on the ground, I just don't see that there's a possibility of that happening.
If this goes on over a long enough timeline and nobody gets like annihilated, there is a solution. There is a resolution to this. It's unfortunate that the people that are in charge aren't willing to do whatever the thing is that ultimately will be the resolution.
I mean, if the U.S. could look back, you know, with hindsight and take a time machine and change what we did after 9/11, I think all of us would certainly do that. And
not let Bin Laden's family leave the United States.
Yeah, not maybe invade Iraq.
Oh, that's what you're talking about. Okay, I was thinking of different things.
I think I said that when we first had this story on the show. Is like, you know, people should have learned something from our experience after 9/11. 20 years of wars that went nowhere were ultimately meaningless. You know, it's just more violence and more pain. For what? For what end? Because you want revenge?
Yeah, she wants revenge.
Yeah.
Did you see the New York Times investigation that believes that they've proved that the rocket was fired from Israel that hit the hospital parking lot?
No.
New York Times investigation.
Wow.
Yeah. They used 4 different camera angles and satellite imagery and a bunch of yuckity yuck. Oh, they also said that it came after the barrage of the Hamas rockets. So
the timing was off.
Which was a lot of what people said at first.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know whenever on the show I said, as I get older, I'm less concerned with being confident, more concerned with being right. And I don't have the ability to look into that. I'm going to trust people that's not in their best interest to report that and still report that. Yeah. New York Times saying that is pretty.
Especially after, I mean, the president came out and said that. The
president also said he saw evidence of the babies being beheaded.
Yeah. And I don't buy that story.
Yeah.
So.
Right, it's like this is atrocious enough already.
Yeah.
All right,
a U.S. Navy warship shot down several cruise missiles and drones launched from Yemen by Iran-backed Houthi forces that were potentially heading towards Israel. So we have those aircraft carrier groups over there now, and they intercepted those missiles.
Where else would they be going? Riyadh?
Yeah, obviously it doesn't make any sense to be going anywhere but there.
I mean, it's the Houthis, so it's there or Riyadh.
It's there or Riyadh, but it's not the same direction, right?
I thought so. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I had to study a map to make sure my joke about Turkey also not bordering Russia was funny after we did the last show.
Yeah, so I just include that in there. I mean, obviously, there's still concerns that this war will become broader, more entities might get drawn into it, like Iran or Iran-backed militia groups. I still think that's pretty unlikely, at least at a large scale. Obviously, that would be a really big deal, a really big problem, because then the U.S. could get drawn into it as well. And we don't want that. So
those carriers are there for?
To
deterrence.
Show support for Israel.
Deterrence.
They're deterrence.
I listened to The Intercept, and they were saying, like, Israel can defend itself, except it needs the U.S. to send two carrier groups to the Eastern Mediterranean. I'm like, I don't think Israel needed that. I think the U.S. is like, if Israel fucks this up so fucking bad, we better have things in position already. We
better be ready. Yeah, yeah,
but I think that's right. It matches their worldview over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
anyway. All right, tournament. Who wins?
Not Gaza, but I think I'm going to go with Gaza because that story you just popped on here about the Houthis and blah, blah, blah. I mean, in time since then, Iran-backed militia groups have fired rockets on other bases like 6 times, you know?
In Iraq.
Yeah, wherever, sure. Yeah. Troops we have in Syria, they thought Trump pulled us out of there. And then he was like, wait, that's a bad idea. We got to do it this way. Never mind. I don't know. Trump was whips on all over the place during that time period. And then the pandemic came. He was like, hey, don't worry about that. There's something I wanted to say about Gaza.
Okay.
They were talking about like 100 truckloads, 50 truckloads, something like that were allowed in. Yeah. And they were used to getting like 10,000 truckloads a month.
Yeah. It's a small like a fraction.
I mean, that's nothing. That's zero. Statistically, it's not.
I want to say 4% was the number.
And then once you take out the skimming that the militants are going to do to it, like, I mean, they're going to skim 100% of that if that's all that's coming in.
Yeah, it's not enough.
All right, so the Hamas. I'm going to write down Hamas wins. No, Gaza wins. I'll go Gaza wins.
Gaza wins. There, I like that better.
All right. House Republicans picked Representative Mike Johnson from New Orleans, Louisiana. I looked right at that L.A. and said New Orleans because I was like, it's the state of New Orleans. Not going to fix this. I'm just going to keep it rolling. So the House Republicans picked Representative Mike Johnson of Louisiana to be their fourth speaker nominee yesterday. Earlier in the day, we kind of talked about this on the big show. Tim Emmer was the nominee, but he didn't even last 24 hours. This guy Johnson passed a full House floor vote midday today, as we kind of mentioned. And yeah, Alan says he's a giant piece of shit, and I want to hear what his story is.
So I never heard of this guy, but he's a real piece of shit. So not only did he attempt to, defend Trump in the 2020 election lies, he was all over that. He defended Trump in his impeachment trials.
He's not indicted with any of the overturning the election stuff, but I thought he was like the point person in the House for it.
He voted on the floor not to certify the election.
Was he the one that voted that got, cause it takes one person in the House to ask for the vote and then someone in the Senate to support it. And it was Ted Cruz. Was he the House member?
Man, I don't remember that.
Okay,
I'm not sure. I know.
I bet if he was, we would have heard that. So
I think we would have. Yeah. He is like ultra conservative, big MAGA guy, anti-abortion. There's some quotes in this article that you added on here for the
New York Times. I couldn't read it.
Headline is: In Johnson, House Republicans elevate one of their staunchest conservatives. There's some quotes in here. He was at a hearing where he pressed this. Board member for positions of reproductive health. He said, do you support the right of a woman who is just seconds away from birthing a healthy child to have an abortion? She says that's never happened.
That's not how that works. Abortions at that stage, it's because it's life-threatening to either the child or the mother.
Yeah. And then he says, but it does happen. How about if a child is halfway out of the birth canal? Is an abortion possible then? This guy, anti anti-LGBT.
Even by definition, you'd be able to say no to that. You'd be like, no, right. It was a birth child. You can call it a homicide if you want. You fucking psycho. Right. It was like those children don't just be like, oh, look at this healthy baby. That's not ever happened. That's never, never once. Happened. Yeah. I mean, it's in the history.
Called homosexuality inherently unnatural and a dangerous lifestyle. He said experts project that homosexual marriage is the dark harbinger of chaos and sexual anarchy that could doom even the strongest republic. This is shitty.
I'm sorry.
It's fucking wild.
Can you say that last part again?
Sure. Let's see, where is it? Experts project that homosexual marriage is the dark harbinger
experts?
Of chaos. Yeah.
Does he go into? Is there a blue link on the experts so we can see like what kind of expert? Okay, I'm guessing
there is the article though. He doesn't say
it's anything. Probably the same people that are like late stage Eastern Roman Empire was full of, you know, like gender trans people and all this stuff. It's like, okay, well, I think that might coincide with the overextension of empire, like to that you get to a point where populations are a little bit more like two things can happen on the same timeline but not be the cause of the downfall of the empire, right?
In his speech today, he said, I don't believe there are any consequences. I believe that God has ordained and allowed each one of us to be brought here for the specific amount in this time. This is my belief.
I don't think that there are any consequences. Did I hear
coincidences?
That?
Oh, okay. Coincidences. His wife is a pastor. There was a kind of a funny comment. He said that... there's no legal basis to deny a bisexual the right to marry a partner of each sex or a person to marry his pet.
Okay.
This guy's all over the place.
There's no legal basis to deny it?
Yeah.
And he says that's a problem?
Yeah.
There should be.
And he said his wife's been praying. She's been on her knees the last couple of weeks. She's pretty tired. She's pretty worn out. And I was like, that's...
Audio? That's audio?
I think it was in his...
Oh, you gotta send
a statement,
me that.
Yeah, we can look for it.
Okay.
Wow. Anyways, so yeah, real great job, Republicans.
Yeah.
Great
How long
job.
Do you think he'll be there? I mean, there's nobody that wants to get rid of him, right? I'm guessing Gates likes him.
Gates loves him.
Hmm. They won.
He went on Bannon's podcast and was all happy about it. He said, "Look, MAGA's taking over."
Oh yeah.
So
all right, we'll see how long it lasts. I mean, their leadership seems to be very effective.
Yeah.
Indeed. Okay. Well, before we get off this subject, while we were doing the last show, you couldn't get his last name straight. And since then, I'm like, Mike Johnson, is that the guy that spent his summer in Moscow, or not his summer, the 4th of July in Moscow? I was like, no, that's Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. So Ron Johnson from Wisconsin is the Republican that went, because he's MAGA too. And he went to Moscow for the 4th of July. Mike Johnson is from Louisiana.
Right.
I can get that straight. If you're having trouble keeping your Johnson straight, Lauren Boebert would be happy to lend you a hand.
Drum roll, please.
Thank you. All right.
Very nice.
Oh. Thanks, Kamala.
Very nice. Very nice.
All right.
All right. The White House released a $105 billion budget request on Friday, asking Congress to fund critical national security priorities, including more support for Israel and Ukraine, as well as funding for U.S.-Mexico border security. Interestingly, the new speaker said that his priorities were going to be around the border.
Okay.
And I can't remember what the other thing he said, but nothing about the government shutting down or passing the budget. So interesting. Doesn't really seem to care about that. So
okay.
It would be great
to see like real immigration reform done there. That's not going to be the form
that
this
happen.
Takes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Words. Okay. Who wins, Alan? Oh, wait, are we there?
Yeah.
Yeah. The budget.
I think the Johnson story is a bigger deal.
I think you're right. Big Johnson.
Big Johnson.
All right. My turn to read.
Yes.
Okay. A bipartisan group. Oh, Mike Johnson doesn't like them. A bipartisan group of 41 states sued Meta, alleging the firm violated child privacy protections and harmed young people's mental health by knowingly building addictive features on Instagram and Facebook. So instead of being able to say like, oh, we don't like the way that you've used Section 230 and we want to conform or, you know, change your policies, or instead of saying like, here's something that you've done that's actually illegal. They're like, oh, we're going to compare this to smoking, and you've created an addictive, a purposefully addictive product, and marketed it towards kids. That's going to be the way they break them up. Because they tried the other stuff. They tried the other avenues, and they're like, well, this one works. This one probably works.
If you remember a couple of years ago, that Facebook whistleblower, Frances Haugen, she revealed some internal documents from Facebook that showed that they were aware that their product was having a negative impact on specifically young girls. Teenage girls were feeling worse about themselves after using Instagram, and they still maintained the same algorithm, which was just designed to attract you to that platform, right? So this is actually 41 states. Getting 41 states to agree on anything is damn near impossible.
Yeah.
So one of the lawsuits is filed here in Northern California, and I think a couple are filed in individual states. The one filed here in California includes, like, I think, like 30 states all together, and then 11 states have done it. So
California files it for the other states? Why is that? Because they couldn't muster it in their own state, and they could – how does that – why?
I don't know.
To streamline the lawsuit, maybe?
When I read it, I figured it was to streamline it also because Meta is based here, that maybe it made more sense to do it in Northern California.
And those are the representative.
Right.
Okay.
But again, this is bipartisan. States across the spectrum all agreeing to go after Facebook in this manner. So we'll see what happens.
I think it's a shitty argument. I mean, I don't disagree with the things you've described, right? Like, it's crappy they knew that and they didn't change their algo. It's like the negative benefit, the negative effects of it, they appear to be more than anecdotal. However, the evidence, aside from the algo stuff, is, they're like, well, look at this spike in teenage depression and all these other things. They're like, the only correlation is Facebook or social networks. I don't know. I mean, you good luck proving that other things in the world have just been fucking great. I mean, you're talking about children coming to adolescence at the time where you probably have to accept the fact that the climate will never be better again. Like, every day is the best version of that season's day that you'll probably ever have. It'll always be a deteriorating copy of a copy going forward. Factor on top of that, political chaos. If you don't want to say the rise of fascism, you can say authoritarianism definitely gaining a foothold in a lot of places that we thought were sort of like liberal democracies. Liberal, the classical definition. I couldn't imagine why, any of those wouldn't have just as much of an effect as Facebook. I tried to say that wittily and it didn't come out right.
Yeah, I mean, certainly there's a lot of reasons to be depressed as a young person on this planet, unfortunately.
I mean, I think it would be really difficult to pin that on Facebook.
The study that was released that was internally done by Meta showed that girls specifically responded to saying Instagram made them feel worse about themselves, specifically to that.
Right. And before that, it was Barbies. And before that, it was makeup ads.
Perhaps.
Not perhaps.
Interestingly.
Wait, not perhaps. Like, we talked about it in our life. Like, that was a thing when we were kids. Like, these ads are unhealthy for girls and it's causing bulimia. We went through all of that. We had the whole 90s and 2000s where girls were like, I got to throw up or I'll never be pretty. And like, I know it's not a thing anymore, but I believe that sort of panic that we had, that was spiked in that era. And in the same way, we're seeing that from this now. It's like, I don't know. Like, at the end of the day, like, parents have to be more involved in their kids' life. Obviously I say that without a kid, but like, it's really hard to find out that your kid has an eating disorder. But, you got to be a parent there, it's going to happen without you knowing, and you still have to be a parent there. Same thing. This, like, you want these companies to just not make this platform that people seem to enjoy, because if you don't parent your kids right or be involved in your kids' interaction with it, Like, I don't think that that should, I feel ultimately these are personal decisions. Yes, they have bad effects on young kids, and I do care about that. I just, at the end of the day, I feel like it comes down to the individual a lot on this.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. I think that the addictive nature that these algorithms create on these social networks is a problem.
But we didn't really understand that. Like, sure, me and you were tuning in on the people pointing all that out early, and mm-hmm. we'd be annoying at parties telling people about attention economies in 2014. But like this, like, we know it now.
Yeah. So Facebook's response is similar to yours in that they said, we wish you guys would have just come to us and try to work something out, you know.
Yeah, that's bullshit too. People have fucking come to you. People came to you. Nobody left you in the fucking dark on it.
So which side are you on, Dustin?
I certainly don't. I don't have to be on one side. I think that the company can be pretty sleazy in that, especially with that kind of a press release. Like, you don't act like nobody fucking talked to you about this before.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
I've been listening to podcasts. It was long before this lawsuit got started.
Yeah. I mean, the release of those internal documents was 2021.
Yeah.
So it's 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So
and it was talked about before that, you know.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Although there is good writing on that being largely corollary and difficult to prove, and it would. I forget who the writer is, but he's kind of like a famous skeptic. That's like, are we sure about this? And sort of looking at it from a different angle. I think I got to look into it. I thought I invited him on the show. Of course, he's busy. Anyway, where are we? Is it your turn or my turn?
My turn. Okay. The United Auto Workers Union expanded its strike to include 6,800 workers at a Ram
pickup. Not the Ram pickup. Tell me it's not the 1,500, Alan.
Yes.
Oh, it's a fucking Ram 1,500. Oh, God. Because there's trucks and then there's Rams. I've seen the ads. Now there's only trucks.
The Ford F-150 plant. They already took that one out.
Next, you're going to tell me Truck Month's canceled. When's Truck Month anyways? Oh my God. Did they cancel Truck Month? Did the fucking UAW? I'll look into this while you read.
Okay. So obviously they're hitting them where it hurts, similar to what they did with that Ford F-150 plant. The UAW now has 40,000 of its 150,000 workers on strike against the big three Detroit automakers.
Okay, so Truck Month is February and March, which is more than a month. That seems a little greedy, but
yeah, that seems a bit much.
So it's right after Happy Honda Days. And then I think you have Toyota-thon, and then it's Truck Month.
Truck Month.
Okay, so if this strike lasts into February and March, I'm going to be really fucking pissed.
Damn, bro.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to have to protest the protests.
Yeah, you don't take away my Truck Month. I didn't hear a word you said. What's the gist of this? What's the big change here? There's more people on strike now?
There's more people on strike now. They've been doing this strategically where they take certain plants offline. Typically, it's plants that are more profitable to these companies, so it's kind of hitting them where it hurts.
So it's like less interruptive to the supply chain, even though it still is, but it's more difficult for the company to anticipate. So it's still that's really clever. It's like an evolution of strike tactics.
Yeah, I agree.
Is there an update to what they've proposed? Like, is GM and Ford coming to the table with new shit?
So far, I haven't seen anything. No.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see.
Yeah. So they
How
want
long has it been, like 2 months now.
They want like full pensions like it was in the 80s.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And they want raises.
I don't know, man.
Because they gave up a lot.
When I lived in Detroit, I remember like every month it was another round. So my friend's husband was a chemical engineer, like brilliant guy. And he was like the best in his division or one of the best. Right. And every time they halved his division, halved it again. It got down to just him and another guy. And then it was just the other guy.
Wow.
And it's like, that was not a long time ago. It was 2007. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Asking us to go back to a pension program from the 80s might be a hard pill to swallow. Like, there might need to be some negotiating room there. But
were those positions eliminated because of technology? Like,
I actually don't recall. No, it was. I mean, I don't. Not in 2007's context in general. Like, if maybe with them specifically, but I don't believe so. I think it was. We need to cut costs, and we have to keep making our department smaller and smaller. 2007 was horrible. Like.
Yeah.
Like, it was still the era of I do not trust an American car to be reliable. I bought a Ford in 2008, and I was like, okay, I kind of Fusion. And then having driven it for a couple of years, I was like, okay, it didn't have immediate fucking problems like every other American car I've had in my life. And then I bought another Ford after that But it took a while to get that faith in it, you know?
Yeah.
Especially to people that were like, I know if I buy a Toyota, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a Honda or whatever.
But now it is that way. Like, if you buy a Ford, you can trust it to be a reliable car. I don't know. Maybe that's a part of this context too, though. I mean, it's like, you're not going to go through that shit again. So therefore you can trust your future to be a little bit more steady. Nobody can read the future and the companies don't want to risk it. And then there's gotta be somewhere in between those two thoughts though. And
yeah,
I'm guessing it's Ford that's not compromising, or not Ford particularly. It's the automakers, right?
Yeah. The big three.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So what's the bigger story? Meta or UAW?
I think UAW, man. I think that Meta story is not going to go anywhere.
Meta's a pretty big deal. I mean, it's 40,000 people on strike. That's a lot of people.
Meta.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Oh, yeah.
No,
oh, UAW. Man, it's a big deal. Yeah, UAW.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I honestly, I really expected them to cave earlier. I think the workers have a good enough fucking point, and I can't believe it's lasted this long. China is asshole. Oh, it's right there. I might as well.
I do have a soft.
Sorry, Alan.
China is asshole.
The French.
I don't know why. China replaced its defense minister, General Li Shangfu, after an absence from public view for nearly 2 months. Li is the second senior Chinese official to disappear from public view this year with little explanation. Also, another cabinet minister was demoted. And this guy, this Li Shangfu, he was a cabinet minister too, not just a defense minister. Like, he was in the inner circle. Yeah.
And he's
which is difficult to set straight in your mind because they have similar names when they're like the Politburo version and then like the closer circle, right?
Right. He stopped showing up for like meetings in like late August, I want to say.
Was this the one that disappeared when we were going over? Was this the one that had the baby with the lady in America?
Yes.
The Western, that she came to the U.S.? Yeah, UCLA?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of speculation. Obviously, the Chinese government doesn't really release anything. They just say, oh, we got a new one. But a lot of speculation about why. Xi has been very, intense about his anti-corruption, taking people out.
It's all he's got.
Yeah, it's really all he's got. It's the second one now. It's very bizarre. They just disappear. We don't know where they just stop. We don't see them anymore. And then eventually they get replaced.
Maybe it's go ahead.
Without any comment. Like, the guy disappeared and nobody said anything. They're just like,
Yeah, you got a Trotsky. I'm just take him out of the pictures, you know?
I guess.
Back to the Future photo of the guy.
All right, Chinese vessels collided with two Filipino vessels.
Boo. These are those boats the Chinese had that just happened to be equipped with bumpers, right?
Right.
It's like, why? I don't think that normally has bumpers there. These are designed for ramming. I'm sorry.
In a contested area in the South China Sea, prompting the U.S. to renew a warning that it would defend the Philippines in the case of an armed attack under a 1951 treaty. So this is it's called a shoal, where they have... What they did was they ran aground a boat and used it as like a base on this shoal, this tiny island, right? And this is in the part of the South China Sea that China claims is theirs.
Have you seen it on a map like this, where this specific incident takes place?
I have not.
It's definitely not China.
Okay.
Like, just, oh my God. It's like, hold on. There's the Philippines. There's Vietnam. Way up over here is China. Like, how the fuck are you getting claiming anything here? Yeah.
Yeah. They've been more and more, taking more risks, I would say, on the sea and in the air, contested space, where they say this is ours and you can't be here, you can't fly here, you can't sail here. And we've seen more and more incidents of, you know, planes almost crashing together, boats running into each other. They're escalating here. And this is not.
They're not escalating. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you, because they know that they can justify response to a first strike.
That's escalating.
It is. But just cooler heads will prevail. And right now, I don't think the Chinese have the cool head acting like that.
Yeah. Did you see the picture?
Which picture?
There's pictures of the boats, like, literally, like,
blocking
other boats from getting
through. It's crazy. Yeah.
So what was happening is they were trying to resupply that pseudo base that they have on that little island, and they were blocking the boats from getting to do that.
Jesse, we get the pseudo, and then we make the blue meth. Yo, Mr. White! That's it. That's all I got.
Nice. All right. What's the bigger story?
China wins. Oh, this is all China. I think that the Philippines story is
Yeah, I think
bigger.
So, too.
Okay. All right. California, it's so close. California suspended the permit of GM's driverless car unit Cruise to operate vehicles autonomously in San Francisco. So they suspended their permit to operate vehicles autonomously in San Francisco. They cited safety issues. Google's competing service Waymo continues to operate. I don't know if it was one of those ones or which one of those it was, but they showed like their safety record, or was hearing about their safety record, one of these autonomous vehicle companies. And one of them we know about where like the bicyclist or somebody like went in front of the car. Damn it. I don't remember the incident so well. The other one was like a vehicle strike because another car hit. No, a person hit someone into that lane and then this car struck it. They actually have a really good record compared to human drivers. It's
so they've had multiple pedestrians hit. And they've also sometimes they just do weird shit and like stop in the middle of an intersection and
really
cause traffic jams. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's just leave it to GM. Yeah.
It seems like they encounter situations that are, you know, unexpected, and they don't know what to do, and they just freeze.
The Cruise one, not the Waymo right. one. Okay, I understand. Yeah. I must have been talking about Waymo. I'm not and wrong.
And so they had. First of all, they were asked to reduce their fleet by 50%. They did that, but they continue to have incidents. And normally, when a company has an incident, they would voluntarily pull it and say, "Hey, let's go back to the data and see what's going on here. Try and assess what happened and make sure that doesn't happen again."
Yeah. When they pull it, bop it, twist it, bump, 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 bump.
Yeah. So they did not do that. And so the California Department of Motor Vehicles is like, "Hey, if you're not going to do it, we're going to do it for you. We need to this fleet." Yeah. Yeah. So they have done that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we got a theme of fuck GM right now. I mean,
all right.
I already mentioned the proud Ford owner.
We have one little econ headline. The influential 10-year treasury rate crossed 5% for the first time
since
2007 yesterday.
That means you get a lot of money off of it, right? That's a good thing, right?
Before retreating slightly. No, that means that inflation is still too high. Oh. Part of the reason that it did that was because Jerome Powell came out in his statement and said that he doesn't think that the
rates will be coming down. Stay high longer. Probably won't raise them, but stay high longer.
Yeah, he said that he doesn't think it's too high or too tight right now. He's still concerned about inflation. He says it's still too high. Everybody, like 96% certain that they're going to leave the rate where it is this next meeting, but there's still potential further out.
Who said the 96 number?
It's based on math. It's based on the way people are
betting
with their money, essentially.
Fine.
Yeah.
I was like, that's his guess that he's 96. Okay, yeah.
I think inflation's a big deal.
I think so, too. T-bill, T-bonds,
yeah.
T-bonds.
Hey, T-bone.
Okay.
Shout out to you.
What do you got in other news? I got a bunch of stuff in here. You don't have to do all of them.
Okay. I thought this one was interesting. Ukrainian spies with deep ties to CIA wage shadow war against Russia.
Well, it sounds like some New York Post bullshit. Where's this from?
The Washington Post.
Oh, that's right. I sent you this.
So, this was actually pretty interesting. Do you remember that what was her name? Something Dugina. She was the daughter of
Alexander Dugin, the guy that has his I heard The Economist, somebody referred to him as a Russian historian. I'm like, oh, okay, if you call that history.
That's one way to put it.
Oh no, his Russian philosopher, which is actually a little bit more forgiving, but actually, again, if you call that philosophy, but you know,
I mean,
postmodernism,
call a lot of things philosophy.
So, yeah, what?
Anyways, so essentially what came out of this article is that Ukraine did that, and we all kind of suspected that they did it, but they did it with spooks. And
whoa, Alan, what the fuck? You're not supposed to fucking say that anymore. Jesus.
They did it with intelligence assets, and they were trained by the CIA.
But the CIA maintains, yeah, we trained them, but we didn't do it.
Yeah, we didn't tell them to do that. We didn't sign off on that. Yeah. But there have been a number, you know, those drone attacks that hit the Kremlin. There's been other things that, you know, things have just blown up. And they are now saying that this is all being done by the Ukrainians' intelligence.
This is a CIA war. Like,
yes.
Okay. Well, that's not a surprise. Yeah. Like, when I saw this, I was like, that's a lot of confirmation. Yeah. I mean, why would that not be what we're doing? Like, that's the way to keep your hands clean. And, you know, at phases of this war, Russia's threats to our vagueness of keeping our hands clean were more or less aggressive, and fears of them having a nuclear strike in response to it sort of have ebbed and flowed. As of today, when we record this on Wednesday, Russia just finished its massive nuclear response test. So they did a test of a retaliatory nuclear strike from land, sea, and air launch systems, and tested those launch systems. They did not test the warheads. So, you know, might suck when 10,000 non-explosive projectiles land across the globe, but here's to them not working. So it helps you sleep at night, right? Yeah.
They also confirmed in that article that the intent was to kill Alexander Dugin. Not
Which
I thought was interesting because we didn't died. Know. Yeah, we didn't know that.
Well, it's also something you'd say, right? Like, oh, we didn't mean to kill your daughter. Yeah. She is sure. innocent. Yeah.
Sure. All right. This next one, this is New York Times. Justice Thomas's RV loan was forgiven, said an inquiry find. So we talked about this story
forgiven
before.
By like Biden? Like Biden forgave his loan?
Forgave which loan?
You just said a loan. Is this like Joe Biden forgave his car loan?
No. Oh, like the student loans. I get it. It took me a second.
Okay.
No. So
who forgave it? I'm asking. Like, did he call like one of those numbers that advertised or text you? Like, oh,
so
sure.
He had a rich friend loan him the money to buy his $300,000 RV, $267,000 technically. And
rounding up.
He was the deal was that he was supposed to pay interest only on the loan for like, I don't know, 5 years or something. And then at that point, he was supposed to pay the whole thing off. The businessman was already quoted before we'd heard this.
Wait, so there was paperwork for this loan? It wasn't just like my dad gave me the money and, you know, I'm going to pay him back?
I think when you move that kind of money around, it's probably hard to do without any paperwork. So
we already as a gift. Wasn't always implied to be a gift.
I guess so. But that's not the way it was structured on paper.
Okay.
So we already knew kind of about this, but now what they're saying is that he paid little of anything on this at all. The person who loaned him the money had come out in a statement.
Harlan Crow.
He had come out and said that the loan was satisfied or something like that. Huh. Sort of vague terms without saying was it actually paid off. So now they're saying he didn't. And so that has tax consequences as well as ethics consequences for him.
For Harlan Crow?
No, for Thomas.
Why?
Because if you don't disclose, you know, a $260,000 gift.
Gift? Oh.
Yeah.
You can't That's just, stupid. Like, you should be able to get big gifts and not have to pay something for it. This is like the Price is Right rules, right? Like you want to take the money, not the prizes.
Sure. Anyways, so just more and more shit stacking up on Justice Thomas.
Nothing's going to happen. Shit, that guy. Nothing's going to happen. Remember his wife?
Right.
Yeah.
Nothing. I mean, the IRS, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. You might be right. I don't know. Maybe I'm
being wrong. Oh, wait. Call me silly. I forgot. If you break the law, even as a judge, you could go to jail, right? And that's like the IRS is the law.
Yes.
Huh. Yeah. Never occurred to me he'd ever face any consequences. But now that you've like really pointed that out, you fuck with the IRS. You're in trouble, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not getting my hopes up.
Insignificant amount of money.
No, it isn't. Yeah. And you're supposed to be an arbiter of morality.
Justice.
Yeah. Justice. Yes. Yeah.
All right. We'll do two more here, I guess.
Two more.
All right. So members of Congress make new push to free Julian Assange. So Rashida Tlaib had tried to do something, I think, earlier in the last year. Now Thomas Massey, and I can't remember the other guy. It's bipartisan, though. Yeah. They're introducing a letter they want everybody in the House to sign, essentially saying that we should drop the charges against Assange and that it's bad for journalism and bad for our country to continue to attempt to have him, you know, to continue to have him incarcerated for what he did, essentially. That's interesting.
He either has a member of Australia's parliament, cabinet, or the president. I don't remember. Prime minister, whatever Australia does. that is on board with this too, because Julian Assange is an Australian citizen. Yeah.
I think this could work.
I think now is a good moment to fucking like move on from this. And like, I know that Brandon's history is like stopping him from being okay with doing this because they have a tight history with him. Mm-hmm. He has to be consistent. And so far his consistency on this subject would not free Assange. But when's the last time we thought Biden was paying attention? Like,
Well, especially if we can get bipartisan support.
Yes.
You know, if we get a lot of signatures from both sides of the aisle, I think that could make a difference.
All right. So if there's a good update on that, we'll hear about it. And that's the background to it. So we won't be like out of nowhere. Yeah.
All right. This last one we'll do is just from the Responsible Statecraft website, which I don't know what that is, but interesting article. The headline is Strategic Posture Review: Echoes of Dr. Strangelove.
I sent this to you because I know you like that movie so much. I didn't read this. I was like, I don't want to read this. Alan.
So this is the Congressional Commission on the Strategic Posture of the United States came out with this report recently. I had never heard of that commission, but apparently a relatively big deal. So essentially what they are espousing in this article.
Wait, isn't that the Strategic Posture Commission? That's the like once a decade or every 5 years they come out and just update what our like readiness and anticipation stance is.
Right. So essentially what the report espouses is that the current state of affairs in the world is far more dangerous than anything we faced in the Cold War. They believe that we could potentially be facing two large nations with nuclear power. So China and Russia.
Yeah. And not only that, but also terrorism on top of that. And we never really had all of those together.
So their recommendation is that we spend even more money on nuclear weapons. So I'll just read this paragraph. The Pentagon is already in the middle of a $2 trillion, three decades long initiative to build new nuclear armed missiles, bombers, and submarines with new warheads to go with them. Accordingly, the commission argues that these investments are not enough, and that the U.S. should consider building and deploying more nuclear weapons, even as it endorses dangerous and destabilizing steps like returning to the days of multi-warhead land-based missiles while placing nuclear-armed missiles in East Asia. These steps would only introduce more uncertainty into the calculations of China and Russia, making a nuclear confrontation more likely. Now, that last part is obviously editorializing based on this.
That's from the Responsible Statecraft. Yeah.
So, yeah, kind of scary. It seems like maybe we'd rather de-escalate than further escalate. We already have a shit ton of nukes. I don't know why we would necessarily need more. But
Russia has more than us, that's why. And we have exited all arms control agreements and non-proliferation. And I think nuclear test agreements. Like, we're done. Like, it's all over.
I know.
Might be wrong on the nuclear test agreements, but...
Yeah. I mean, so at what point is enough?
Oh, we're past having enough, but Russia has more.
So it's still enough.
But they have more, Alan.
Okay.
I mentioned Truck Month? This is America.
America.
It's over here. Hold on. America. Yeah, man. We got Truck Month. We got 90-year-old presidents. We got fentanyl. And we got fucking nukes.
Got nukes, baby.
Yeah, well, we don't. Russia does. We don't stand for that shit. We
can't have that.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's good enough for the headlines.
Yeah.
You want to go into media?
Well, something has to win.
Oh, right.
Pick one of those last ones. What do you like best?
I think Assange is a pretty big deal.
Assange. Okay. All right. So we've got Gaza versus Big Johnson. You know what? This whole war in Gaza just keeps winning.
Yeah.
We got UAW versus the Filipinos.
Filipinos.
Okay. Is that with an F or a P? I'm joking.
It's with a P.
What? Really?
I think they spell it with an F, but we spell it with a P.
It's not Philippians. It's not Philippians, right? That's a book in the Bible.
No, that's Galatians. Philippians.
Philistines. I love Philistines as an insult. It's fucking Philistines. we got T-Bone versus Assange. T-Bones versus Assange. The T-Bones is bad. We're doing T-Bones.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now we have three teams facing each other. This tournament's stupid. Let's move on.
Let's just make it Gaza.
Okay. What have you been watching, my friend?
So I mentioned I'd seen like a trailer for it, I think, last week. It's a show called Bodies on Netflix.
Yeah. I've been waiting for this to watch it. I'm listening.
I like
done it. Interrupting I like it. So you. Sorry. What?
It's about time travel. Oh. And it bounces back and forth between four different time periods. And this guy keeps on getting killed, essentially, in each time period. And there's cops investigating it in each time period. It kind of bounces back and forth. It's really cool. I like the sci-fi aspect of it. I like the music, like the soundtrack or whatever. And it's not very long. I think it's like 6 episodes. I think it's a fun ride. It's not like... So if I was going to rate it on a 1 to 5, I'd probably give it like a 3.5. So it's good. It's worth, you know, if you have some time watching, it's on Netflix, so you don't have to pay anything more than you're already paying. I liked it a lot. And there's enough intrigue to keep you guessing and wanting to watch the next episode. I would recommend it.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'll watch it then. Yeah. I'll at least get started. Is it slow and like plotting? Because I know that's what you like.
No, actually, I wouldn't say that. It's more like a police drama. It's
not one of your usuals. Okay.
Not one of my usuals.
Is it? What's the tone?
Well, a lot of it takes place in, you know, the past, like far distant.
Yeah, but is it like fast-paced, upbeat, kind of funny about dark subjects, or is it like...
I would say more gritty.
Okay.
Police drama, kind
of. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, I'll check it out. I watched a movie called Totally Killer. I don't recall where I saw this. I watched this movie, Totally Killer. It's, I'm going to go Amazon. I think it's on Tosh. She can't hear me.
Googling it.
I think it's on Amazon. I think it's included on Prime. I watched this movie, Totally Killer. I would describe it as Scream meets Freaky Friday and Back to the Future. And unexplained why it works. Because it's made by, you know how that movie I told you about, Bottoms, was kind of like in the,
Oh yeah, I never got to that.
Oh, it's really good. You got to watch that.
I definitely will.
But I described it as existing in like a Strangers with Candy type movie or like a Children's Hospital. Did you ever watch Children's Hospital on Adult Swim? How it was just like absurd, but it kind of has like a congruent universe to it. It's like within reality, but it's absurd. I would say Totally Killer is a bit of that. So, the friend of the main character makes a time machine, and it's not explained why it works. It's not quite as like Doc Brown is the mad scientist, so of course it works. It's like, okay, whatever, suspend disbelief. And like I said, it's kind of like a Freaky Friday type thing where it's like, it just happens. Okay, bud. Like that's, well, let's not get hung up over this.
Suspend disbelief.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Cause it's fun. So the person goes back in time, and it involves some killers, a killer, and some murders that took place that shook like a town and a community. And the daughter of one of the people that was affected by it goes back in time and happens to hit the date where the murders took place. All of that, like, despite that being like, you would think, you know, Back to the Future, it's like 15 minutes into the movie, we're going back to 1955, right? I think it's like a third of the way in the movie before the time travel actually even happens. The characters are good. Randall Park is in it. Love Randall Park. He plays a disinterested cop or security guard. I can't remember, cop or security guard. It pokes fun at generational things. So I would almost say like people our age could watch it with their kids. I don't know what that's like. I don't have these. And there's like jokes you can share making fun of each other. So like when she goes back to the 80s, she's like, you know, there's a complete lack of authority seemingly, or authority's concern for people's safety in general. There's a line where she's like, what's it like flying on a plane here? Cause like you just, oh, she goes into the school and it's an ongoing joke about how nobody has concern for her. Like, she's like, I'm pretty sure I have to give you like 5 forms of ID. I'm a new student. They're like, no, you told me your name, go to class. You know, like it's funny jokes like that. I will say that I don't care for the way they portray podcasters in it. And I'm sick of this as a fucking theme. You know, my culture is not your something
appropriate our culture.
Yeah,
it is on Prime, by the way.
Okay, great. I highly recommend totally killer. It's spooky season.
Is it
so
fun?
Yeah, it's really fun. Yeah, the tone is up. It's what I was describing for you. Okay. And the reason I asked you that question and didn't seem to hear your review of your movie is because I was rereading my notes before I talked about this. Okay. I am sorry. Alan, I am very excited for this new game.
Oh.
I should have said it at the top of the show. We have nope, not Carp or Narp. It's similar title. It's see or no. See or not. See or not. Now, when I say see or no, you think I'm being Spanish, right? Like yes or no.
Yes or no.
It's does this word contain the letter C or not?
Oh. Okay. All right. So I'm just gonna hear the word.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm actually gonna need you to not look. Are you down here? Can you scroll up? Can I trust you?
I scrolled up.
Yep. Okay. Eyes up. Eyes up here, Alan. all right. I'm going to give you an easy one first.
Okay.
Cephalopod. Now, does cephalopod contain a C? Oh, yes. I forgot to tell you this. Okay. Alan gets 1 point. I didn't
explain. What's some of my favorite creatures?
It'd be funny if you thought it started with an S, right?
It would be funny.
Okay. So I forgot. I'm bad at this. I think we should start giving you points, and then you can do something with your points at some at a later
collect
point.
Points.
Yeah,
like arcade,
and like you know, good behavior and stuff like that. I used to have a little star board up in the cabinet
as a kid. And,
yeah, we'll get a chart going for you, and you can cash in your Marlboro points at some point. So you get one
tote bag,
yes, or a jacket. Those Joe Camel jackets are fucking cool.
Or the Winstons, man.
Yeah, I love Winstons. I love Winston soft packs. They came out with a hard pack box where you could rip the tab open on it, so you could hit it from the bottom of the pack like a soft pack. Dude, there's just nothing better than pulling a pack of cigarettes out of your pocket, hitting the bottom, three of them pop up like the Sears Tower, like five different layers. Pull one out and just like, God, I miss cigarettes so much.
It's bait pin immediately.
Okay, one more. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, I'm better. Yeah, I don't like the way I feel after I smoke, though, so I'm glad that moment passed. Okay, so you have a potential of 2 points per word here. One point if you get the C or not.
Mm-hmm.
And second point, if you can pick where the C lands in the word. You don't have to be like the number, but you can say it's before and after this letter, right?
You don't have
to be perfect spelling. Okay, cephalopod, you get 1 point. And can you guess where the C is?
It's the first letter.
It's the first letter. You got your C words, Alan.
I got
All right, this one's this is a tough one. Vittle.
Okay.
Vittle. That's how it's pronounced. Vittle. I can't spell it for you.
Right, obviously. I mean, so...
It's an older term for like food, like the picnics. Oh, all right.
I don't think it has a C in it, but I'm guessing it probably does. But I'm saying
you're saying yes, C, not. No. You're saying not.
Not.
Not what?
No C.
Okay. Sorry, Alan. This has a C.
There's a C in vittles.
Yep. You have no points. It's V-I-C-T-U-A-L, Vittle.
Wow. Yeah. I swear I've even seen it spelled, but it probably was spelled wrong.
Maybe. Yeah. The history, I looked this up. It was spelled V-I-T-T-E-L-L. And then there's that phase in English history where they started fucking with words. There's a thing. They were like, no, it's more civilized to do it this way.
Put a C.
Okay. I've got a fun one for you, Alan. I think you know this word. Tumescent. Does it have a C in it? Tumescent.
Yeah,
is there yes to C or not?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes, and it's after the S. It's like S-C-E.
You want to give a definition of tumescent?
Oh, fuck.
Can you think of part of your body that is tumescent ever?
Oh, yeah, like your hog.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So Alan gets 2 points for tumescent. Fun little trivia that nobody will ever care about. Adam Carolla was on The Apprentice, and he was like getting kicked off. And he, I think he was asked by Trump, like how something made him feel. And he said tumescent, and he got it past the censors and past Donald Trump face to face. That's been living in my head forever. Like that was before he was president that happened. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I got another difficult one, and you have to say, is it have a C or not? Okay.
Got it.
So I want to hear you boldly say C or not. Dram. Wait.
Dram.
We'll come back to dram.
Okay.
It really doesn't matter. I just like this other one more. Well, we'll go with dram. Sure.
Dram. There's no earthly reason that should have a C in it.
So C or not?
I'm going to say not.
Not what?
Not C.
Oh, I fucking got you, motherfucker. I mean, this whole game was an elaborate ruse to get you to say that. Oh, my God, you anti-Semite. I can't believe you'd say that on our podcast. Get the fuck out of here. You're canceled. You're canceled, buddy. Wow. Oh, God, that's so rewarding. I can't believe that worked.
Oh, my God.
I took you up to that so many times. At the beginning of the show, you said I did not see that. And I said, whoa. And then you kept talking. Yeah. Oh, God. Okay. Wow. Ah, that's so rewarding. Okay. It's just personal. If I accomplished one thing today, it wasn't fixing the dish machine at Opryland. It was this.
Wow.
Okay. I have one that I really want to get out because I like this word.
Okay.
Tessiphon. Wait. What?
Did it?
Okay. So you actually, how would you spell dram?
D-R-A-M-M.
Use it in context.
I don't know what dram means.
Pour me a dram, right?
Oh, okay.
So a dram would be a measurement of like a drink.
Oh.
D-R-A-C-H-M, like yacht, draw, C-H, oh. Like the C-H in yacht, is a different form of measurement. It has more to do with like alchemists and bullshit like that. So nobody uses this word. It was just the one that I knew would get you. And that's why I said, oh, and I wanted to say it last. Because Ctesiphon is one of my favorite words. Yes. So it's a Parthian capital.
Oh, wow.
It was like 21 kilometers south of Baghdad on the east bank of the Tigris. Jesus.
Say it again.
Ctesiphon.
I don't think there's a C in Ctesiphon.
You don't want to, how would you like to say that? No, no, not a C. Okay.
You can't get me twice.
There is a C in Ctesiphon. C.
Really?
Yeah. It's at the beginning. Ctesiphon. Ctesiphon.
The fuck kind of bullshit is that?
I thought it started with a T for a lot of my life, and then I've read a book instead of listened to someone talk about it.
That's like Cthulhu, right?
Well, I guess I couldn't have got Cthulhu. Not getting Cthulhu past you. All right. Well, that was really fun. I'm really happy
that was
I got
fun.
You. Let me ask you a question, and we'll get out of here. Did you know they changed the time on the Mission Impossible theme from 5-4 to 4-4?
No, I had no idea.
That's really weird, right?
Yeah.
Is that only interesting to me?
I don't think I would even notice that from movie to movie.
Yeah, I guess they did it so it could be more fun to dance to or something. I could play the time differences, but you'd just be counting to 5 and then counting to 4.
Right.
Like, wow, yeah. That is different. But like, yeah. I don't know. Okay. I'm not going to end the show on that, Alan.
What's a fun fact?
It is a fun fact. It's not as fun as Mao killed is on all the money.
That is.
Oh, I got one. I got one to end with. Okay. Guess which country has a mountain full of mannequins that you can drive through or drive up to and fill your trunk with for, they sell you a trunk full. You just go in and fill your trunk for like $40. I don't know how much for a price. You can drive into this mountain of mannequins and you can fill your trunk. What country has this?
It sounds like something weird that Japan would have.
I thought it sounded so American, like specifically the Southwest, like somewhere like, you know, by that, by the Salton Sea, there's like a pile of mannequins and you can just fill it up. It's England.
Really?
England. Yeah. Yeah. Fun fact on this one. Guess which, maybe you see where I'm going with this. So you would imagine that some parts are more valuable than others if you buy them.
Oh, sure.
More popular. Guess which part of the body is of the mannequin. Guess which part of the mannequin is most popular.
Oh, I mean, it'd have to be. Oh, the mannequins. I guess it'd be the torso.
It was the torso. Now, why do you think they said in their tourist guide? they said for a lamp on top, obviously, Alan.
Oh, obviously.
Not what you're thinking. All right, that's back to that. See, when you thought it was in Japan, that was totally normal to say that's what the mannequin was for. I saw a post where this lady was like, I fucked my boyfriend 9 times. Here's the condom. Abe would have been so proud. It's like, no, Abe didn't want you to use condoms. Like, Abe's whole point was like, we need a generation. Yeah. All right. This ends the show. No more show. Cheers. I'll talk to you next week, but not a minute earlier.
See you next week.
Drive safe.
When a guy's banging you,
y'all let me in his damn house.
Oh, how about that?
Come in the name of peace.
LMFAO.
So what in the world is this?
this.
Is Kevin McCarthy a moron, and if so, why?
Why would you say something that stupid?
I come without explanations or solutions.
I'm a very sexy lady,
cat turd.
I will not suffer this harlot.
How great, an anti-American Marxist.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Read the news.
China is asshole.
God bless the United States.
Now this is podcasting.